Okay, so we're on the verse 1. I mean, sorry, verse 3. We're on the second line, and I was saying that all of those three, Sadgurave, Tasmai, and Swavidya Dvantabhanave, are all in the Dative. And being in the Dative, they're in the Dative because of Namaha, which governs the Dative. So salutations to him, Tasmai, who is my Sadguru, which I was talking about, who is my Sadguru. Now, Swavidya Dvantabhanave, Bhanu, Bhanave from Bhanu. Bhanu means sun. Okay. In the Dative singular, the one who is the sun to the Dvanta, to the darkness of. So the one who is the sun to the Dvanta, to the darkness of the avidya, of the ignorance of the self. You have to say of the self. You can't say of me. You can't say because there's no subject me to make it reflexive. So you would say of the ignorance of the self or of self-ignorance. So the one who is the sun to the darkness of self-ignorance. So my salutations to him, to that Sadguru. You could say like that, to him who is the Sadguru or to that Sadguru. Who is the sun to the darkness of self-ignorance, by the light of whose teaching the Chidatma becomes visible, becomes known to us. Everybody see?
And Shankar is saying this to his gurus.
Yeah, these are prayers acknowledging. And usually when there's the prayers, introductory prayers to a verse, or the first verse or two of a text, will give namaskar to Bhagawan and to the teaching tradition, usually. And to the guru, to their guru, to the sampradaya, the teaching tradition, and to the Lord. That'll be an introduction. So Shankara is giving that introduction. And now, having given these three verses of introduction, he begins the Bhasha. So go to page 2. He begins the Bhasha, which introduces the verses. Okay? So repeat after me as we read this. We'll do it sentence by sentence and then break it into sections. Iha hi sarvasya.
Iha hi sarvasya.
Jantoho.
Jantoho.
Sukham me bhuyat.
Sukham me bhuyat.
I'm breaking a sandhi here, so sukham me bhuyat. Not really a sandhi, it's just a double duh. Bhuyat. Well, it is. Bhuyat dukham. So sukham me bhuyat.
Sukham me bhuyat.
Dukham me ma bhuyat.
Dukham me ma bhuyat.
Iti.
Iti.
Swarasata eva.
Swarasata eva.
Sukopaditsa.
Sukopaditsa.
Dukkha jihase.
Dukkha jihase.
Bhavataha.
Bhavataha.
Okay, let's look at the first part. I'm going to break the sandhi just for this first section here. Iha. Hi sarvasya jantoho sukham me bhuyat. Okay. Iha means here. It means here, as we'll see, here in this world, here, where we are, here. Okay. He can just be indeed. The word he is an indeclinable. It can mean indeed and give emphasis. Or sometimes it means because. So you have to decide from the context whether this word is going to mean indeed, or maybe you don't want to translate it because the emphasis doesn't work in the translation, or it means because. Okay. So I'm going to take it right now as emphasis. Sarvasya means everyone, every, all, everyone, depending, okay? Here it's being used adjectively to Gentoo. Gentoho is from Gentoo, like Guru. From Gentoo is in the genitive singular. So Sarvasya Gentoho, for every person. Gentoo is a creature or being. So we'd say person here because we're talking about self-knowledge. But actually you could say, animals feel this way also. Okay, but for every being, you could say, for every person or for every creature, sukha me bhuyat. Happiness for me, may it be. May I be happy. Let me be happy. Okay. May there be happiness for me. Sukham, happiness, pleasure. I say happiness, sukham. May, for me, bhuyat, may there be. There should be. Let there be. The potential and the imperative. This is potential. And the imperative are both can be used in a sense of prayer or request. May there be happiness for me. In English we say, may I be happy. May I have happiness. Okay? Sukha me bhuyat. Dukha me ma bhuyat. May there be no sorrow for me. Now this word ma is the same as na, but it's used in for the imperative and the potential also when the potential is being used for a request or prayer. So you don't use na for an imperative or potential. You use ma. Let there not be dukkham for me. Okay? Iti. So here in this world, for all beings, for every creature, for every being, sukham me bhuyat, dukkham me ma bhuyat. Right? Iti. Puts it in quotes. So it's for every being we see this. May there be happiness for me, may there be no sorrow for me. Okay? Iti. Swa rasataha. Now, that taha affix on swarasa gives it sometimes a fifth case or adverbial sense. It's indeclinable now. Rasa means the very flavor of something, normally. The rasa, like every emotion has a rasa. That's what is actually the flavor, the taste of it. So here it's from its own rasa. Right? Means from its own taste. Or you can just say naturally. Very natural. It's very natural to it. So naturally you can say. Eva indeed. Okay? Sukha upaditsa. Dukha jihase. Jihase. This is like palam pale. Palani. It's in the dual. This is a compound that's in the dual. That is going to be joined by the word and. So let's take the first half of it. Sukha upaditsa. Mumuksha, jignyasa, vividisha, upaditsa. The desire to obtain. It's called a desiderative. It means the desire to obtain sukham. Sukham upaditsa. The desire to obtain sukham. First half of the compound. The desire for obtaining, the desire for sukha. Second half, dukkham jihasa, the desire to get rid of, to not gain, to avoid. Avoid is a good word. The desire to avoid dukkha. It's put in the dual. So the desire to gain sukha and the desire to avoid dukkha. Bhavataha is in the dual. These two. The desire to gain sukha and the desire to avoid dukkha here in this world is there. It is for every being. Here, indeed, for every being, there is the desire to gain sukha and to avoid dukkha. The natural desire, there is the natural desire, swarasataha, from its own nature, right? In the form of, let me be happy, sukham me bhuyat, and dukham me ma bhuyat. This is the form of that compound, the desire to be happy and the desire to avoid sorrow. is how does that express for every being? Let me be happy. Right? That's the sankalpa. Let me be happy. Let me not have any sorrow. For every being, there is this. This is there. We see it here in this world. Okay? Tatra, repeat after me. Tatra yaha kaschit.
Tatra yaha kaschit.
Punya atishaya shali.
Punya atishaya shali.
Avashyam bhavi.
Avashyam bhavi.
Dukha avina bhutatvat.
Dukha avina bhutatvat.
So I say dukkha.
Dukkha.
Then we're splitting the sandhi here, so go dukkha and then avina bhutatvat. Anityatvacha.
Anityatvacha.
Sorry. Vishayajam. Sukham. Dukham.
Eva.
Iti.
Iti.
Eva, a plus e is a. Eva, iti. Nyatwa.
Nyatwa.
Yatnena.
Yatnena.
Sasadanat.
Sasadanat.
Samsarat.
Samsarat.
Tyakta asakti, asaktihi, rise of Asarga. Tyakta asaktihi.
Tyakta asaktihi.
Atyantam.
Atyantam.
Virajyate.
Virajyate.
This is one of those Sanskrit sentences that has three or four sentences in it, and then to try to make it true to the Sanskrit is hard because it's long and convoluted. In Sanskrit, you know, because a compound can be like a whole sentence. And then that whole sentence is put as the subject of the sentence. So that's why Sanskrit can be difficult.
Well, do they feel it's convoluted, the Sanskrit?
No, it works really well when you're reading it in Sanskrit. It's only when you're reading it, trying to put it in English, that there's a problem. So now, let's look at this. Do you see how it starts out with tetra? Tetra means in the it's the locative sense of tet. Tetra affix is an indeclinable affix. And it means, it has a locative sense, so it means there, literally. And tetra can mean there in terms of a place, right? There, in that place. But in the abstract, it means in reference to that or regarding that. So you have to remember that. All of these words can be used as abstract, in the abstract as well as in the concrete. So Shankara uses it all the time in the abstract. So there means regarding that in reference to what I've just said. Okay, so tetra there, tetra yaha, nominative singular, correlative, he who, the one who. Yaha kaschit. Kaschit is an indefinite pronoun, and it means someone, right? Someone. So yaha kaschit would mean someone who, some person, you know, someone who, kaschit, yaha kaschit, someone who. Punya, and if you notice by that, by the way, the kaha, usually when you have a word that begins, a pronoun that begins with ka, it's an interrogative, like kaha would mean, like if I said kaha purushaha, would mean who is that person? It introduces a question. If I said saha purushaha, it would mean that person. If I said yaha purushaha, which person? So when something starts with kaha, it would mean who is the person? It asks a question. But if I take that kaha, or any form of kaha, if I decline it like Rama, kaha, kam, kena, you know, kasmat, like that. If I decline it, here it's kaha, and I put a chit on the end of it, it makes it an indefinite. So kaha chit, kas chit. See the sha there? That's a visarga. Kaha chit, kas chit. So that makes it an indefinite pronoun. And it doesn't, now it's not interrogative. It's not asking a question. It means some person. an undefined, an indefinite person. So if I say yahakaschit, some one person. That's how often we are trans. Some one person who. What about this person? Punya. Punya means punya. Atishaya means an excess, a huge abundance, a great amount. Atishaya. Punya atishaya, a great amount of punya. Punya atishaya. A tremendous amount of punya. Punya atishaya. Shali. Shali comes from shalin. It's again, here it's in the nominative singular. Shali means one who is endowed with, one who has. So if I say punya atishaya shali, it means one who has, one who is endowed with an tremendous amount, atishaya, tremendous amount of punya. Punya atishaya shali. Okay, from shalin, so nominative singular. So all of this first line, yatra, goes back to in reference to regarding, then the one who, yahakaschit, someone who, being endowed with a great amount of punya. Okay? Then what?
If you were endowed with a huge amount of punya, mm-hmm. would you know that you had that? I mean,
well, if you're a mumukshu and you have a teacher, then you definitely have a great amount of punya. The crores and crores and crores of punya. Remember that Viveka Chudamani verse? That in the first beginning of Viveka Chudamani, to have a human birth itself is great punya. Then to have a human birth where you have a buddhi who has the capacity for viveka, much greater punya. Then for to have those two things, and then to have mumukshutvam, greater punya. Then to have that, all those things, and then to meet a teacher, excessive punya. Then to have met the teacher and to have this teaching, to understand it, it's off the charts. Right? So great punya. Just even to have a human birth is considered punya. So that's why
I guess I have an abundance.
Yeah.
You're
okay.
You're okay. So that's why it says punya atishaya shali. That's in the tradition. It's considered to be great, great punya. Even, so you think of it like this, to have a human birth and then to have the viveka, to become a seeker, which is what he's talking about here. This person, because of some great amount of punya, he comes upon this realization, which we're going to talk about. Now just follow me as long as I read this. Avasham bhavi. Dukkha avinabhutatvat anityatvat cha. Now do you see that there's one long compound here? Avasham bhavi dukkha avinabhutatvat that ends in twat. See that? That whole compound ends in twat. Then do you see the next one? Anityatvat. Second one ends in twat. And then there's a cha. Everyone see that? That twat translates very nicely and obviously as because of being, whatever the compound is, because of being. So that first, last one is easy. Because of being anitya. Because of being non-eternal. So when you say twat, because of being. Because of being what? Anitya, non-eternal. Now look at the first compound. This is a hard compound. It's difficult to translate it, but let's look at it. Take it word for word. The word avasham bhavi is viewed as one word, but it's actually a certain type of compound. I forget the name of it exactly. It's a compound that can involve an indeclinable, but don't worry about it. Just look at it as one word in the dictionary. If you look it up, it'll be one word. Avasham bhavi means that which is inevitable. In other words, it's just destined to be. It must take place. It's inevitable that it will happen. It's like cause and effect. This is the inevitable effect of this. So inevitable is a good translation, or destined to be. Okay? Next word, dukkha. Dukkha means sorrow. So the inevitable sorrow, or sorrow that is destined to come about, destined to follow. Okay? This first two, avasham bhavi. Now, avinabhutatvat. Avinabhuta, another word that's compounded, but you can look up in the dictionary. as avinabhava. What it means is that which is an inseparable connection. In other words, it's connected to it inseparably. It can't be taken apart. So here if you say, try to translate it, because, and we'll see what this compound is talking about, but for now just to get a sense of the compound, because of its inseparable connection to dukkha, because of being inseparably connected with dukkha, which will inevitably follow, which is will inevitably come about. Okay, so that's the compound. So because of being inseparably connected to dukkha, which will inevitably come about, follow, and because of being non-eternal, okay, which when I was reading this with Saksha, he said, you know, this anicca, you don't even need to say it because, well, we'll see why. But this is why, another reason why it's probably not Shankara, because it's unnecessary to say this. Let's look at the next part and we'll see what this, put this together. Vishayajan sukham. Let's look at sukham. The ananda, the happiness or pleasure, vishayajan, born of sense objects. Now when you have ja at the end of a compound, it means born of. So vishayajan, born of sense objects. And the sense objects can be plural, dual, singular, depends on the context, and that's true of any compound. The first members of the compound can be in singular, dual, or plural, depending upon the context. So we would say sukha born of a sense object, or sukha born of sense objects, whatever ever works in English. But sukha yajam is going to be in the nominative neuter. Okay? I'll tell you why in a minute. That sukham dukkameva. The sukha born of sense objects is dukkha alone. Is only dukkha. Sukha dukkha. The sukham dukkameva asti. Understood. The sukham is dukkham alone. The sukha vishayajam born of the sukha born of a sense object is dukkham alone, is sorrow alone. Okay, now why? Because of being inextricably connected to sorrow, which inevitably follows, and because of being non-eternal, sukham is dukkha, alasukha, born of sense objects, is dukkha alone. You see? Iti. Huh? What?
Where does it say, because of being inevitably?
Avashyam bhavi dukkham, dukkha, avina bhutatvat, because of being inextricably connected with sorrow, which inevitably follows. Anityatvat cha, and because of being non-eternal, vishayajam sukham, happiness which is born of the sense object, dukkameva, is dukkha alone, is sorrow alone. Iti, thus, nyatwa, indeclinable past participle, thus, having known this whole thing, having recognized, having realized, what? This whole quote, some one person who has a tremendous amount, endowed with a tremendous amount of punya, yet nena, that one person, having known, yet nena, by effort, through effort, yatna means effort, with effort, by effort, or we'll just take by, with effort for now, yatnena.
Prayatna.
Yeah. Making effort. Prayatna means proper effort, yatna can mean proper effort, improper effort, but just means effort. Why are you saying yet? Just with effort. You could say also with perseverance, with fortitude, with effort, with commitment, like that, then what? Sasadhanat samsarat. Two ablatives from samsara. Sasadhana. Sasadhanat. Together with its sadhanas. From this transmigratory existence, this samsara, together with all of the means, together with the means, For samsara means, you know, the ignorance born existence. That's samsara. Ignorance born existence. Which cause, and in that ignorance born existence, I have to do all kinds of things to become happy. Those are the sadhanas. All the things, as a samsari, all of the things that I have to do, that I use to become happy. So when you take the word sadhana and you put sa in front of it, right? Sa sadhana, it means saha, with. So with the sadhana. So sa sadhanat, samsarat. So you would translate it like this, from samsara together with its means, all of the things that I do, you know, in order to become happy. So sadhanat, samsarat, tyakta asaktihi. Okay. This is a compound that is defining the person in the nominative singular. Asakti means attachment. Tyakta means the one who is abandoned, given up, abandoned. Tyakta asaktihi. The person is a... You are a tyakta asaktihi. You are a person who is a... It becomes a name. It's a bahuvrihi. The one for whom attachment is abandoned is called a tyakta asaktihi. So this tyakta asaktihi, this one who has abandoned attachment, atyantam, complete, completely, adverbial, virajyate, completely turns his back on, gains dispassion, it's vairagya. This one gains completely, with effort, right? He completely gains vairagya from what? What do you have gaining dispassion? What are you turning your back on? You're turning your back, you're moving away from samsara. That person is turning his back on moving away from samsara together with all of the means to make me happy. Okay?
Does asakti also mean some sort of weakness towards something in particular?
Not usually. The long asakti means attachment. So tyakta means past passive participle as a compound. Tyakta asaktihi. These kind of compounds we use all of the time in Sanskrit. They become names for a person. Like, what if I were to say, you are a tyakta asaktihi? you are one, but in English translation, it would say, we could say that. We wouldn't say, you are a tyakta asaktihi. We would say, you are one who for whom all attachment has been abandoned, who has given up all attachment. You are one who has given up all attachment, tyakta asaktihi. So, you don't say the attachment which has been given up, da-da-da. You are one for whom the attachment has given up. That's a special type of compound. So now this person, because of their recognizing that sukha is really just only dukkha, you become a tyakta asakti. And you make every effort, through perseverance, you have completely turned your back on samsara together with its sadhanas. You see that? With effort means it's not that it comes easy. You've made a commitment. You see it. You see the truth of it. And then you say, no, I'm not going in that. And so when that comes up to pursue, that we say no. So that's the prayatna. Right? You bring in your knowledge and you see it for what it is. So that's the prayatna that's being made there. Does everybody see? It's a long sentence to make it into one sentence if you want. A lot of times in translation, in fact, they'll break something like this into a couple of sentences just to make it more readable. Okay, we're doing okay. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Repeat after me. Viraktascha.
Viraktascha.
Samsara ha now.
Yatate.
Viraktaha cha. That sha, that visarga goes to sha. Viraktaha cha. Samsara hanau. Yatate. Okay? Now, this says, he is now a viraktaha cha, but it says literally cha and a viraktaha. A viraktaha is one who has vairagya. In the past passive participle, it's formed off of the verb viraj, just like vairagya. is formed off of the verb viraj as a noun. Virakta is a past passive participle formed off of the verb viraj. It means to turn your back on, to have dispassion, to not be interested in pursuing samsara because of seeing its shortcomings. So now, if we say viraktaha, it says, so, and one who is a viraktaha. So you say, and one who has dispassion. Okay? So, but using it as a past passive participle, one who is now a viraktaha, one who has gained dispassion. Samsara hanau, locative compound. Hani means destruction, removal. Hanau is in the locative. Yetate means strives. He strives to, he makes efforts in the removal of samsara, in removing samsara. So you can say he strives in removing the samsara. He strives in reference to the removal of, he makes efforts. About what does he make his efforts? He makes efforts to remove samsara. That's why the locative is there. He makes efforts in this. In what? In removing and destroying the samsara. Who? The viraktaha. The viraktaha makes efforts in removing samsara. Samsara hani. Samsarasya cha. Atma swarupa.
Atma swarupa.
Aparijnana.
Aparijnana.
Kritatvat.
Kritatvat.
Atma jnanat.
Atma
jnanat. Nivritti riti. If I break the sandhi, nivrittihi iti. That R is a visarga, nivrittihi iti. Tam. Prati.
Prati.
Do not break the sandhi. Pratyatma jnanam.
Pratyatma jnanam.
Acharya upadishati.
Acharya
upadishati. I'm going to read this with the sandhi. Just follow along and then break the sandhi. Samsarasya cha atma swarupa aparijnana krita twat. Twat, see that? Atma jnanat. Changes to na because of the nivritti. Atma jnanat nivrittihi iti. Tam. Prati. Atma jnanam. Prati, separate word here, is an indeclinable. Prati. Atma jnanam. Acharyaha. Visarga drops because of the plus visarga followed by any vowel except there are visarga drops. Acharyaha. Upadishati. Okay? Let's look at the first. Of samsara. Of samsara, cha, and of samsara, atma jnana, aparijnana, kritatva. Because of being caused, kritatva, let's read the compound backwards. Because of being caused by the aparijnanam, the incomplete knowledge of the nature, the swarupa of the atma. The swarupa of the self. I'll tell you a little bit about that after we finish translating, but let's look at this. Because of being caused by the incomplete knowledge of the swarupa of the self for samsara. In English, that twat is going to take a genitive for its subject, and you're going to actually end up translating it. You'll end up translating it as because of samsara being caused. Because of samsara being caused by the incomplete knowledge of the nature of the self.
There she goes.
She's late. She's going to be late here. She had to leave at 11. Okay, samsara syacha. And for samsara, because of being caused by the incomplete nature, by the incomplete knowledge of one, of the nature, swarupa, of the self. So in English we would say, because of samsara being caused by the incomplete knowledge of the nature of the self.
Where's this incomplete?
Aparijñāna. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute.
Okay.
Just take it for now, incomplete knowledge, okay? Atma-jñānāt nivrittihi, okay? Okay, the nivritti, from atma-jñāna, from knowledge of the self, nivrittihi, the elimination. Actually, you can go like this. What I said is correct, but this is better also. The nivritti, the elimination, the ending of samsara, to go all the way back, samsarasya nivrittihi, the elimination, the nivritti of samsara, nivrittihi is in the nominative singular, the nivritti, samsarasya nivrittihi, the nivritti of samsara, from the elimination of samsara, you can say, is from self-knowledge. Because there's no verb here. You notice that? Before the iti, no verb. Samsarasya cha. Atma svarupa aparijñāna kṛta tvāt atma jñāna nivrittihi. So we can say the nivritti of samsara, the ending of samsara, is from self-knowledge because of being caused. I would say again, because of samsara being caused by the incomplete knowledge of the nature of the self, of the true nature, svarupa, of the true nature of the self, the elimination of samsara is from knowledge of the self, is due to knowledge of the self. Iti thus, prati to him, prati means to, tam him, accusative, to him, who's him? The virakta, the one who has dispassion, to him, atma jnanam, Acharyaha Upadishati. The Acharyaha Upadishati. The Acharya teaches Atmajnanam, self-knowledge, Tamprati, to him. Why? Iti. He says, because, in this Iti we'd probably say because. Why? Because, this quote, this is why he teaches it. Because the elimination of samsara is from self-knowledge. Why is it from self-knowledge? Because of being caused by the incomplete knowledge of the nature of the self. Now, why does he say aparijñānam here? Aparijñānam instead of ajñānam. Why?
Because you know yourself, but you don't know what you are.
Exactly. So it's beautiful. You know yourself as I am, I exist. You have what we call Samanya jnanam, right? So it's called technically samanya jnanam. I know generally who I am. I'm an existent conscious being. The vishesha jnanam is not there. And so you do know yourself, but not completely, not specifically. So because of the incomplete, so Swamiji and I were going back and forth how to translate this aparijñāna. He said, let's say incomplete knowledge, because of exactly what you say. So because there's incomplete knowledge of your own svarupa, of the Atma svarupa, because of that, that's the cause of the samsara. It's being caused by that. And therefore, the nivritti, the elimination of that samsara, has to be from knowledge of the Atma, as you are. Right? Now, so because of this, for this one who has virakta, the Acharya teaches Atma jnanam to him, tamprati, because of this. Very beautiful. So this is how Shankara introduces the text, and then we'll see next week.
Well, it seems like that concept's the whole focal point of Vedanta, right?
It is.
Because you know that you exist, so you have to take yourself to be something.
Yeah.
So, and you take it wrong.
You take yourself to be all.
Yeah, you're half right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that bizarre?
Let's say a prayer. Okay. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti. Shantih. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.